Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. Shortly, we will be joined by Tim Fiore from the Institute for Supply Management. But until Tim gets off of one of his previous interviews, probably with Bloomberg or Wall Street Journal, to join us here in Manufacturing Talk Radio, we'll get an update what's happening in the world and life from Lou Weiss. Lou, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and it's Tim will be with us after he does his 30 seconds with CNN, while we give him his full 30. Is that Tim now?
And he's gonna jump in. Tim Fiore, are you with us? Oh, it sounds like
I'm
Tim.
Here,
great
gentlemen.
Voice. Hey,
Tim,
doing? Love that voice.
Good. How'd you like your 30 seconds with CNN?
Oh, a while back? Right. Well, you know, I just love this report. It's a fantastic report. I mean, it's hard not to be really excited about the whole thing.
You're getting closer and closer to the yellow jacket.
Yeah, we have a sustained period here of expansion that just continues. And, you know, the top numbers, the production and the new order numbers, are, you know, near record highs that go back to 2011 and 2004. It's just a really, really good environment. And, you know, the summary on this is I don't think we've seen any impact yet from the tax relief.
Really? You don't think so?
So let's get started. You want to get started?
Yeah, we're excited to hear it. We were blown away by 59.1, so rock and roll.
All right. Okay, so PMI 59.1, third highest level since February 2011. 93% of manufacturing GDP expanded in January. Now remember, January is a weird month because the first four or five working days of January is kind of a slow period. People are just kind of coming back in. They're sweeping the floors. They're kind of shaking their head from the holiday period. and it's generally not a really productive period of time. It's like the last week of December. You know, unless you're shipping spare parts and stuff, it's not a place where you've got, you know, full employment. So we had three of the five sub-indexes did not contribute to expansion this month of the PMI, and two of them did. So let me talk a little bit about that. So demand, the new order size, 65.4, down 2, but the second highest number since December of 2004. And the first highest number was last month. So we're talking about back-to-back months of record highs since 2004, which, if you recall, I think it's pretty much termed the China supercycle, commodity-driven supercycle. It was in that time period where things really took off. So, you know, really good new order numbers. You know, shows really clean demand. 87% of manufacturing GDP expanded in their new order area in the month of January. So, and remember, as long as the new orders are coming in, everything else can be dealt with. Customer inventories went up slightly. I think it's a couple points they went up. Yeah, 2.7. But backlog grew also. So we made some progress on customer inventories, but we continue to grow that backlog, which always makes me feel good when I'm looking at February, March, and April. So demand was really strong. On the consumption side, production and employment, production was the second highest number since January of 2011, and last month was the first highest number. So again, back-to-back months of near record, near, you know, modern times kind of production numbers, which really make you feel confident that things are humming along really well. The biggest issue here was the decline in real employment, and the question becomes, all right, what was that? Was that a lack of a need to hire? Was it a lack of an ability to hire? Was it seasonality factors, weather? And, you know, going through the comments that came in, we had 37% of manufacturing GDP declined in employment in the month of January. Now, we do this by percent of dollar contribution, not by headcount. So of that 37%, 15% of that is chemical products, and they declined, as well as 12% in the food and beverage area. So chemical products is not a big employer. So having them drag the number down doesn't really affect heads, I don't believe. But food and beverage is. And, you know, if you look at it, seasonality, you know, they have their big season is November, December for the holiday season. then everything pretty much goes dark until Easter. So it's not a real big surprise, I think, that food and beverage had this decline, and they were like the worst in terms of decline, and chemical products wasn't far behind them. So I think, you know, the employment piece is more about shortage of labor, weather issues, and other seasonality factors, you know, primarily around the jump closing 2017 and opening 2018, and probably an unwillingness to actually make offering for people in December and waiting until January. So then, you know, that gets us to the input side, supplier deliveries and inventories. I think the inventory number is really all that stuff that shipped on December 31st. It showed up at our panelists' facilities, and there's no doubt that their raw material inventories is higher in January than it was in December. They generally tend to bleed them down. And, you know, I think the suppliers are experiencing the same problems with employment and possibly pricing issues that our panelists are. They're having trouble hiring people because they generally don't pay as well. Their benefits aren't normally as good. They tend to have more of a turnover. And on top of that, you know, you saw the prices number was so high. I mean, everything is up in price. Every industry sector reported price increases.
When the numbers are hot, the prices go up.
Yeah, that's the rule of economics, right? Yeah, that's exactly right. And 70-something, 70, yeah, the last time we saw an index that high was May of 2011. So another 2011 benchmark broken. So, you know, I think if you look at our PMI, I think you guys have seen the chart that goes back to 2000. And, you know, there's actually four cycles in there, two that are very distinct, one that's not as distinct, and we're in the fourth one. The two other cycles is the super cycle, commodity-driven cycle back in 2003 and all the way, carried all the way through until 2007. The second cycle started in August of 2009, and depending on where you want to cut it off, it was either July of 12 or December of 12. And we keep breaking the peaks that we're experiencing in both of those periods. So this is equivalent, you know, to those. I think we got plenty of runway here.
Just one point I'd like to bring out to our listeners and the readers of our metals and manufacturing e-zine is that your chart of your the PMI numbers, we have a chart that goes back 5 years, so you can actually see, you know, what's been going on for, you know, that period of time. And it's really quite interesting, and it makes you feel good, especially where we are now as to where we were 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, I'm fascinated by your comment that you don't think the tax reform or the tax act, whatever that tax movement was in Washington, has been seen yet in the PMI. Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't measure sentiment here, right? And that whole tax package got put together very quickly at the end of the year. And, you know, like I said, the last month and the month before that, anything that probably will come out of that will be out-of-plan tax, out-of-plan CapEx. And I will say, if you look at the data here, the one indicator that ties back to that is the fact that our lead times for CapEx equipment got extended by 11 days or 8% in the space of 1 month. And that lead time number generally does not move very dramatically. And I haven't gone back to see when the last time it moved that much, but an 8% move in the space of 30 days is pretty dramatic. So that says to me that people are in touch with the CapEx suppliers in the industries that they operate in, and lead times are being pushed out, either because those suppliers are optimistic that orders are going to come in and they don't want to miss commitments, or orders are already starting to come in and it's impacting their ability to perform to their customers' schedules, hence lead times being pushed out. So I think that's the first indicator of something really positive going on in that end. The second one is, this one isn't that much of an indicator, but, you know, we asked our panelists about what's happening month to month. And outside of that CapEx lead time question, there's nothing really about long-term investment. So what I do is I go through the general comments to see if there are any comments around, things that are that related. And we only had three comments that came in around tax and regulatory change. So to me, what it's saying is that it's not a front issue for them right now yet. But the other thing I'll say is that ISM has gone and sent a special survey out to the business survey committees on both the non-manufacturing and the manufacturing. The rough data is in. I do have a copy of it, but I'm not prepared to say much except that there's definitely an impression coming out of there that there will be incremental CapEx compared to where they were last year, and that they are working through the details of it when they responded to us. And I think ISM will send out a news release probably somewhere around the 8th. I don't know the exact date. Christina can give you a better feel, and we'll provide the results of that survey. I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
One thing I'd like to ask you, being that you brought up the non-manufacturing, and I know that mining is in the non-manufacturing report, so I'm not asking you to tell tales out of school, but I found it rather interesting that Caterpillar Tractor, and I couldn't help but take note, their price stock, their stock price, rather, this past year went up 70%. Is that a sign of what's happening in mining?
Yeah, well, I watch Caterpillar because I used to work with one of their competitors, and they actually have a product that we used to build on the mining side. So Caterpillar is really two elements. Well, it's actually three. They also have locomotives and engine systems. But the other two elements are construction equipment and mining equipment. And although they have some similarities, they all use steel and hydraulics and engines and wheels and tracks and stuff like that. They do support different markets. I don't really know what's going on in mining. If you asked me whether mining was booming, I would probably, based on my limited knowledge, I would say probably not. But on the other hand, Lou, steel prices are up like 20% from about a year ago. Copper continues
right.
to go up. Brass is up. Aluminum is still up. Iron ore is up. Coal production in the U.S. is strong. And, those are all mining activities. So they're all affected by mining activities. So, but, China tends to be the one that drives the big commodity cycles in that area. And, a lot of Caterpillar's equipment ends up in Australia and South America and up in the oil sands facilities up in Canada. So I think it's a good sign when Caterpillar does well, because some earth is being moved, whether it's for a highway or a building or to get at some precious metal or something. I think it's all positive. And Caterpillar's had a tough 5 years since the last mining decline, but I'm glad to see that their stock's coming back.
Yeah, coming back and moving ahead.
Yeah.
Tim, another area is, there are continuous rumblings about new manufacturing plants being built in the United States. Both companies who are expanding here and building here and companies who originated here and are possibly pulling plants back into the U.S. Have you heard much about what's happening in that arena?
Well, there's a lot out in the news about it. I think in our semi-annual that we update in May, we're probably going to ask those questions again. We asked them last year, and the answer was nothing's really changed from the prior year.
Right.
I think you've seen what's happening on the tax side. Everybody's going to have to pay taxes on their offshore profits, regardless of whether they repatriate them or not. A lot are saying that they're going to repatriate a lot of that money. A lot of it tends to be in the high-tech side and on the E&P side of oil and gas. So, there's a lot of comments about building factories here. When you've got depreciated early depreciation on capital assets, if you've been putting off capital investment and you now have this benefit of lower tax rates going forward for infinitum, all right? This isn't just a five-year tax break. This is a forever tax break until some other Congress decides it won't be. And it's driving some investment back, I think. And I think there's a lot of what it kind of looks like to me, just as an outsider, I love what's happening with these big companies passing some of this gains back to their workers. I think that shows a real collaboration between industry and government that we haven't seen in a long time. And that helps the economy, and it helps mom and dad and John and Sue and everyone who lives in the U.S. And I think the last numbers I saw was 2 million people were going to be affected by companies handing out either bonuses or other financial benefits to their employees. That's you know, we're coming up on 2% of the the labor force in the U.S. I think the labor force is like 156 million or something. So that, I mean, that's right. A sizable number, and those are only the ones who are reporting it, not the ones who aren't reporting it. So, you know, to see that happen, I think that's a great thing. That's really, really positive. Industry knows that it needs to respond to address the concerns of people who feel as if they haven't fully participated.
One of the numbers that I found quite interesting about the new export orders going up over 2%, that's really quite encouraging.
Exports have been really good. It's a new high since April of 2011. There we go, 2011 again.
Right.
We haven't seen that kind of expansion month to month since April of 2011. Combination probably of, you know, the dollar being at its weakest in quite some time, coupled with the fact that the global economy is to some extent in synchrony with each other, and some areas are doing better than others, but generally the global economy is doing better. And consumer confidence in the U.S. is up, positive, and you know, my guess is the same thing in Europe. So we've had all this pent up demand for a long time, and U.S. is able to participate. I think on the export side, we had most of our big sectors contributing. So we had 13 industries out of 18 increase in their exports, and I think maybe with the exception, all of them were. Except for food and beverage too. Every one of the six, which is 70% of manufacturing GDP, expanded their exports. So that's good. I found it interesting that the import number came up too, but I think that's still a carryover really from the fact that we have increased demand, and you've got the Asian New Year coming in. That I think that probably starts in the next week or two, and so we probably saw some increase in imports because of that. That number. Is it tied the April of 2014 number, and the last time there was a higher number was February of 2007. You know, we're back now into the super cycle in the early 2000s.
Well, I'm thrilled. I know that in regards to our All Metals and Forge Group steel forging company, we too have been. Participating in this upward swing, and we're really quite excited about it. From 08 through just recently, it's been, it's been a tough cycle and a long tough cycle. So we're seeing the good side of things as well.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. On the pricing side here, I think I mentioned that energy showed up as a significant increase this time around. And, that may be why we only had 1.3% of our respondents report lower prices, by the way. So 98% of the respondents said prices are up. And, you're talking about wood products, basic chemicals, plastics that are made from chemicals, industrial metals, natural gas, crude oil, probably other refined products. I mean, they pretty much affect everybody. So, not that big of a surprise. There was no real notation on the food side, but the food industry reported prices up too. I think we had 18 of 18 that said prices were up.
So based on what you see, and I know that ISM doesn't like to predict or forecast, and I do know that for the most part, cycles don't go 1 month up and 1 month down, and they tend to go for 2 or 3 or 4 months or more. Are we looking at a good first quarter, being that first quarters usually are not as strong as other quarters?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, a lot of things happen in manufacturing now. They start to pick up in February, March to meet the seasonality issues that come in May, June, July. So, the fact that we have new orders at such high levels, production is still at very high levels. If employment doesn't constrain our ability to continue to expand production and meet the new demand, there's really no reason why not. I mean, we're reporting 17 months into a cycle here, and I think the two cycles I've just mentioned to you average out at 38 months. You know, the mm-hmm. China super cycle and the cycle that was post August of 2009, those PMI expansion cycles average out to about 38 months. So, and we're only 17 months into this if you take the more conservative approach, a more optimistic approach. And I think if you add 6 months to that, you know, you're talking about we're 24 months into a 35-month cycle. So, yeah, I don't see
I think I'm going to open up a bottle of champagne at lunch.
X any, you know, X any big global events that kind of throttle everything down. And, you know, unfortunately, we live in a time when that is a possibility. There's really no reason. Every area of the globe is humming along at a decent pace. U.S. is doing well. I mean, we had fiscal policy here that isn't even reflected yet in any of our output numbers. Consumer confidence is at a very high level. It hasn't been at this high in quite some time, if I recall. So there's really no reason. I mean, oil and gas is not driving up to $150 or $120 a barrel, which is positive, but it's at a decent level to spur reinvestment in you know, the mining sector and in the refining sector. So, yeah, this thing should continue. I mean, we still got runway here.
We averaged over the last 12 months. Sorry, Lou. We averaged the last 12 months the PMI at 57.7. How's manufacturing doing in terms of capacity utilization? They got to be bumping up against the ceiling.
Well, yeah, I think the last time we had checked, we were at 86% efficiencies. I think that was the number. I'm looking here. Let's see.
Yeah, that's
I think you're right.
Yeah, 86% in December. So, and you know, and in May we said we're at 82%. So that's a 6 month difference. We went up 3 points. So, geez, you know, we could be running at 86, 87 or so by now, and that's a really high number. So we're not going to know for sure until I think this is included in our April May semi-annual, but it's got to be an issue. And hey, as demonstrated by the fact that lead times are going up for capital goods, I would say that people are getting concerned about that, so they're starting to place orders to increase their capacity and or you know replace their existing equipment that might be you know at the end of its useful life, or you know probably a combination of both. When you have accelerated depreciation now and you have extra money that you didn't count on 6 months ago, now's the time to do it, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, and what we're finding right now is that in all metals and forge, that we are getting contract and requotes for jobs that we quoted 6, 7, 8 months ago. Who they're coming back and they want to update in pricing, and they're beginning to place orders on projects that have been sitting idle on the sidelines for 6 months or more. So they're beginning to loosen the purse strings.
Yeah, that's great news. So one of the things that we're asking the community in this tax relief questionnaire is your R&D investment going up as a result of the changes that have occurred in December? That's a question we're specifically asking them because, you know, R&D is the future lifeblood, right? It's one thing to build a factory and put some plant in there, but I tend to really skew more towards the new product side. And if you mm-hmm. got the new products, you need the factories and the equipment to build it. So I like to see that R&D number go up, and we'll see what their answer is. And I'm hoping it's going to be positive. My guess is it will be, because you're right, Lou. There's a lot of things that people wanted to do, but they really weren't sure whether they should invest or not. They're afraid of falling over the cliff again with a decline.
Right.
I think if the tax policy has done anything, it's given people confidence that, you know, we got a couple of years here of additional runway that we don't have to worry about getting caught with our hands in our pockets.
Right, right. So that's all good news, and we're happy to be enjoying the ride as long as there's no headwinds that come up, and you never know when that happens.
Yeah, it's a great time, right? I mean, it's really a great time to be in business. And, you know, like I said last month, you know, we talked a bit about the tax policy and share buyback and extra dividends and wages and salaries. And I'm still convinced that, you know, right now there's substantive conversations going on in the boardrooms about what is the right wage to pay people to retain them, What do we need to pay people to get them in? And then, you know, how do we help them stay with us through some type of retention payment like these $1,000 and $2,000 awards that some of these companies are making? I think those discussions are all going on right now, and you're going to see more and more companies disclose, you know, positive actions to help, you know, their workers at the mid-level and the lower level. And I think you're going to see those continue to come out all the way through mid-March. And that's how it's supposed to work. And, you know, in my experience, this is how things get resolved when there's a lot of anxiety. And I'm just glad to see that they seem to be headed in the right direction.
Tim, when does your special report come out? Is it later this week or next week?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if we have the date. They told me that I could mention that we've done it, but I don't know that they've told me when we're actually going to release it. It looks like February 9th. So, and if Christina hears this and I said something wrong, I'm sorry. But it looks like around the 9th of February. I'm sure, you know, Tony's NMI will come out, and then we'll do a news release on this. And how else we publicize it, I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Well, we'll be glad to have you back on Manufacturing Talk Radio to talk about it, that's for sure.
Yep, should be. It's a good survey. It's a really good survey. Yep, and I think it's a great time for being in manufacturing, for sure.
Excellent.
Well, thanks,
excellent.
Tim. I know you've got a busy schedule. You're running to Bloomberg or USA Today or Wall Street Journal, so we'll let you go. But thank you. And for those of you who don't know, behind the scenes, there's a gal by the name of Christina Cahill who helps coordinate all this. Our hat's off to her because this wouldn't happen without her. So thanks to you folks at ISM.
Yeah, Christina and the whole team and Tempe do a great job, but Christina, Paul, and everyone. So glad to have them. They're really the glue that keeps it all together.
No doubt, no doubt. And I hope Christina also tunes into our new show called Women and Manufacturing that launched back in November. Got some great interviews there and some real interesting information from some top-notch people. Tim, thanks for joining us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Okay, Lou and Tim. Talk to you next month.
Take care, Tim. All right, good luck.
Thanks.
Well, that was exciting information, Lou. I think, want to wrap this up and get it out on the airwaves.
My heart is palpitating. I can't believe this.
Yeah, skipping a beat here. Yeah, this is great stuff. And tell all your friends that you listen to this particular discussion on Manufacturing Talk Radio at mfgtalkradio.com. You can also find the Women and Manufacturing shows there temporarily. There'll also be a link over to the new site, womenandmfg.com, as soon as that goes live. And again, thank you for listening today to...
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.